Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
That's an app.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Yo, what's up, guys?
I had to be towed in by another adult male.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Walled it, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Hello again, everyone. A very pleasant good afternoon, and welcome to FedEx Field in Landover, Maryland, for this Week 5 encounter of the New England Patriots and Washington.
It's going to be a challenge down there. They do a good job and try to go down there and play well.
After three straight games against AFC East Division foes, the Patriots now step into the NFC East.
Whatever happens, whether you win by 50 or whether you win by 2 or whether you score 50 or whether you score 2, you know, it's the next week just starts fresh.
It's only the 11th all-time encounter of the Pats and Washington.
You got to empty the tank again. You got to fill the tank out again, then you got to empty it again.
The Patriots have won the last three by a margin on average of 23 points.
And we're ready to go here Sunday.
Shotgun snap to Tom. Looks over the middle. Throws over the middle for Edelman. Dives to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Man, it's good to see those two guys back in action. 1, 2, 3, boom. Ball's out.
Brady under center on the retreat. Dropping back. He's pressured. He rolls right. He throws it down the right side for an open Bolden. Catches the 5. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots. Throws it underneath. Pick off by Jason McCourty. He's running back right across the 15. And a giveaway by McCoy. First down, New England. Michelle, the tail of the tandem from the offset eye, takes the handoff. Runs it through the right side. Sony cuts right for the 5. Michelle wards off a defender. A stiff arm en route to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots. Under center, drops back, looks to throw. He pumps once. Then he throws to the back of the end zone. Wide open. Wide end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
What a call. Patriots started slowly. They trailed for the first time this year, but once they took the lead, there was no looking back. At FedEx Field, en route to a 33-7 win. It's their fourth in a row in this series. More importantly, it is their fifth in a row to start the season.
That was ridiculous. That was pretty amazing. I felt like a home game, and good to come down here and get a win in front of them.
Everybody, good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program, Town Fair Tire Studios. 617-779-0985.
Real quick, a little bit of breaking news. Just as of like 10 minutes ago, I guess the Patriots wrecked the Redskins so badly that Jay Gruden has been fired. Now official. It's now official. So he can now enjoy his life somewhere else.
Ian Rappaport. And it's funny, too, because they asked him about that afterwards. He said, well, if my key card works in the morning, I'm showing up for work.
It's not going to.
No.
All
right,
good.
Did he have any years? I know it was his fifth year. Did he have any years left on the contract?
I'll double check.
That's a good question. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Because if I'm him, I'm thrilled. Get me out of this thing.
Yeah. So, I mean,
at least I can go home and sleep.
This is kind of... Yeah, one of the more obvious tweets, but Ian Rappaport, who I think first reported Jay Gruden being fired, said the Redskins move on from Coach Jay Gruden, who by the end was likely waiting for this to happen and is not obviously surprised. A lost season in Washington, but the early move gives them a chance to start their search in earnest. So good luck. If you're taking over that spot, you are somebody who, I mean, give it to like a Tom Sula, someone who you know will never get another job anywhere.
You know how I rip on McDaniels for not taking jobs and that he's a pussy? he's still an assistant with a failed head coaching run, so I don't know about him. But if I was like a college coach that everyone was after, or I was, you know, a hotshot offensive coordinator that had not failed in another city, I'm really, really thinking about not taking that job.
You see, my whole thing would be if I was
Sickly
a
Nicholas,
coach,
why are the curtains not up all the way?
If I was a coach who knew that I only had a few years left, I would just basically, to me, this would be like winning the lottery. I would go there and get my money and not care really what I did with my job, get my $5-6 million a year, whatever you're going to get, you know, 2-3 years, and then quit. And then it'd be the, not quit, just quit coaching after it was done, whether you're fired or whether you run out of your contract.
Well, I would assume that you like football.
Well, if
and that coaching is something that you want to do.
But then again,
I mean, Jay Gruden's not 70 years old, so. But Jay Gruden, I mean, just working for Dan Snyder has got to be so effing frustrating.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea that he came down to the war room and told them to take Dwayne Haskins because his kid had played high school football with him. I mean, that's like Little League stuff. They don't even let you do that in Little League. They don't let you cherry pick players. I mean, his whole basis of taking someone was his son's relationship with them, with the 15th pick in the first round. I mean, Dan Snyder, I don't care who you are, that's crippling. And then they give you this whole ration of crap. They give you a sea of garbage, and you're supposed to win with that? Now, look, I don't think Jay Gruden's, you know, the second coming of Vince Lombardi, but I mean, what is he supposed to do with that team?
You know, it would be a dream come true, and I don't even know his contract situation anymore, but it would be if at the end, I'm not talking about Jay, but at the end of the season, if they just, you know, continue with whatever assistant coach they have, and then next year they hire Jim Harbaugh.
Oh,
he's going to be available.
Oh, that would be awesome. Right?
That Wrecking Crew offense. I'm
just saying, Michigan will probably let him go. He's right at the end of his. I mean, Harbaugh's the same way. He's 5-6 years, sometimes less, sometimes a little more. Wears out his welcome and is
combustible.
Fired. Wait, yeah, he's fired.
You don't like his running gun offense over there? the 10-3 game?
Just the word I think of between Dan Snyder and Jim Harbaugh together is combustible. Like, he would show up, and they're going to give him a zillion dollars. If he comes back to the NFL wherever he plays, they're going to give him a zillion dollars.
Why not? Dan Snyder loves a name. And by the way, Gruden had signed a 2-year contract extension a couple of years ago. He was extended through the end of next season. Yeah. So he has a year and a half left.
What's he making, 5-6?
I have no idea. Well, I can't find a number here.
I would sit and enjoy every second of not being around that man. Just sit, Jay Gruden, and enjoy life. And then, you know, maybe catch on somewhere as a assistant and then ride out into the sunset.
Meanwhile, his brother is having the time of his life. I'll tell you what, Raiders look okay. I was talking to Mike Lockhart. You know, he watches all of the games. I watch highlights of games that I don't really even care much about. And to be honest, every time I've seen the Raiders play, they're pretty good. Like, they're a team that you're waiting for them to screw up and do something dumb, much like Jay Gruden's team has been doing with the Redskins. But no, they're just kind of a decent, like, fundamentally sound football team that he's kicked them into shape.
3-2.
But the best thing about it is that John Gruden, we're getting some of that stuff that we loved and we miss on Monday Night Football. Later on in the show, I will play you some of his in the locker room post-winning speech, which is just peak John Gruden. So please continue to win. Winning John Gruden is a hell of a lot more fun than losing John Gruden.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, yeah, lots to talk about today. What a game on by those Patriots, I'll tell you that. that's fun stuff. I was coaching a Little League game during the second half, and I got to tell you, I was amazed by the reports that were coming in during said game. Very exciting, I've been told. Did you guys remember the Anarchist Cookbook?
Yeah, remind me, is it, because I get that and Steal This Book mixed up.
No, Steal This Book is like the Abby Hoffman book, right?
Yeah, I think you're right. And so
Anarchist Cookbook was this guy in 1971, as a response to the Vietnam War, he put out this book that has like recipes for bombs.
Yeah, like how to make a Molotov cocktail and stuff like that.
And so it occurred to me, I remember being a kid and like doing some of the stuff in the Anarchist Cookbook. Mm-hmm. So I spent the weekend reading it.
Yeah, and it's online.
Yeah.
And kids are a lot different nowadays. Like, if you did some of the stuff, like, I mean, they have stuff that you could never do, but, yeah. I mean, they have stuff like tennis ball bombs.
Jeez.
Well, it's not geez. I mean, they don't do a whole lot.
I mean, I don't know. I mean,
but we used to do that stuff. Like, you had all day.
Yeah.
And so, like, a tennis ball bomb is that you take, like, a million wood matches and, like, cut the fuses off. And then you stuff them into a tennis ball, like you know, put a little thing dent in the tennis ball, shove them in, and then put cardboard in it, and then throw it down, and it goes. Phew. So we would get frustrated and just pour gas in it.
Oh jeez!
And then and light it on fire and just start kicking it around.
Oh my god!
Well, you had to do stuff like that
all the time. Like we did.
Yeah, I mean, you're saying, "Oh my god!" I'm like, you.
Well, because now I think about it. From the perspective of being a father instead of being the dumb kid that was doing it. Like, I mean, I think of one thing that we did all the time, which is so wildly irresponsible, was the lighter and hairspray trick.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was amateur.
But there were situations where, I mean, you've seen it before where the can would explode.
See, I don't know if that's true.
See, I think I've seen a video of it.
Well, I don't know if that's happened. That doesn't sound like that. That's one of those things I don't think really happens.
I think potato cannons were the most dangerous, without a question. Yeah, those were the craziest.
The hairspray and the lighter thing is amateur hour.
Yeah.
But Wallach even did that, he said.
Yes, even I.
But the potato cannons would be so strong. He would take a PV. Like there was a guy who lived a couple doors down from us, and his father would make them. And you would take that giant PVC pipe and you would smash the potato in the front of it so it clogged it up. And then there was a way you lit something in the back. And one time he actually blew a hole through a tree. It was so powerful. Those things were no joke. It wasn't just a loud noise. Thing. Oh, of course you could. You could put a hole through a tree, you could put a hole through a person.
And then I was watching something, and I don't remember if we did this or not, but to make the tennis ball bomb, you can take, like, bottle rockets. Because all this stuff has gunpowder in it.
Yeah.
Which, if you're bored, nowadays no one would do it because it takes forever.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're sitting around, like, in a park with nothing to do in the suburbs, I mean, you can open up a million bottle rockets and just get all the gunpowder and pour it into a tennis ball. Now, that creates some shenanigans. Apparently, I saw a video on it. We never did that, but I saw a video on it on the internet. Vice Magazine did a bunch of stuff in the Anarchist Cookbook. Yeah, I mean...
See, but then you would lose all your bottle rockets, which were kind of valuable when you were a kid.
You can get... I mean, those are... You could get for $5, you get a million bottle rockets.
See, the thing is, you had to drive all the way to the state line to do it where
there was always some Hesher that had bottle rockets. Like bottle rockets and throwing stars and nunchucks.
Well, our neighborhood ruled because we would have on the 4th of July, like, redneck dad wars. And it would be like basically who was the king of the cul-de-sac. And these dudes would go and just spend, I mean, they would spend hundreds of dollars at the state line fireworks store. And they would show up and one, like, down the street would launch it. It's like, oh, yeah, you think that's badass? And the other guy would launch one. And they would just go back and forth. And all the neighborhood kids win in that situation.
Yes.
And then one dude would show up.
Watch.
Yeah. With that cannon, the one that's about, like, the top of it's as round as a basketball. That would be the one that would end it all. I'd be like, okay, well, you bought the $75 single firework.
Well, that's the thing is that they sell those in Tennessee, and we can't light them off in the backyard because there's not enough room in my parents' backyard.
Mm-hmm.
But they sell, like, the full-on, like, if you bought three of them, it's like a legitimate fireworks display would see at a park.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. They're like $50 a piece.
Yep. And the top of it is massive. It's like, as I said, you could probably fit a basketball.
They don't need that kind of room anymore, but they're solid bricks. Like, but if you were at somewhere and you were going, oh, I want to see a fireworks display, if you tie all the fuses together and light it, I mean, you're getting a big thing. Well, I mean, I guess thank God for the internet because kids aren't sitting around anymore and making bombs out of... Or you could make napalm.
Oh, my God.
That's fun.
Napalm's boring, though, because all it does is burn forever.
Doesn't it also, like, give you birth defects?
Maybe like if the smoke has some kind of thing, but napalm is just burns forever.
Okay.
Yeah, like it never goes out.
Yeah.
So if you got to cover it with like a blanket.
Is Agent Orange and napalm the same thing?
No.
Okay.
No, napalm death, as much as napalm death isn't the same thing as the Backstreet Boys.
Napalm Death, an awful metal band. Not good at all.
Wait, I thought by the way they write their name, it was sweet.
If you can read it.
That's the thing. Well, that was back when you could kind of make it out. Now it's just a Warshak test.
There was a band, I remember one time, this is when my band was still playing, this guy came up to me and goes, "Man, you guys are real good, I'm in a band." I say, "What's the name of your band?" And he pointed at his shirt, and it was just like a bunch of like bones and pointy things and thorns. And I'm like, "Dude, what does it say?" And he goes, "Mayberry." I'm like, "Mayberry? No, Mayberry. Excuse me? Maybrick." And I couldn't even read it. And he was saying Maybrick. And I'm like, "What is Maybrick?" "This is Jack the Ripper's name." I'm like, "All right." Well, I had to go through five different jumps to get to the point where this is something somewhat evil.
Evil.
A, I couldn't read it. I had to ask somebody. B, I couldn't hear you pronounce
Jack the Ripper. What a lame, like the lamest evil thing.
Maybrick.
Jack the Ripper. Where the hell did he even do that stuff? In like the 20s?
In like London, too.
Yeah,
right.
Like,
this guy was like living in like streets. Cordial, Georgia.
Jack the Ripper. What a lame guy to name a satanic band after. All right. Well, anyway, don't make tennis ball bombs. Rich, what do we have coming
up? Well, let's get to the absolute assault to that second half.
Yes, let's spend a lot of time in discussing
that. You know what? It's kind of interesting. That first half, it exposed a lot of stuff about this team.
There are a couple interesting things, Fred.
Don't worry about the
couple
defense.
Couple of them.
Don't worry about the defense.
No. That's when we'll spend 5 seconds on the defense. It's the offense.
But offensively, you should be a little concerned.
Yes.
I guess.
A little bit.
Okay. I mean, the first half wasn't great, but.
No.
All right. We'll be right back.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
Podcasts, the latest sports news, and for Toucher and Rich. Toucher and Rich. Download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
Recapping what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Well, after struggling for the entire first half, the offense switched things up, and the Patriots became the Patriots again.
Second down and four for New England. Brady under center on the retreat. Dropping back. He's pressured. He rolls right. He throws it down the right side for an open Bolden. Catches the five. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
My, oh, my. It's a wheel route that they got him on again.
Well, the first half was an exercise in offensive futility. After Tom Brady tied a career-high 31 pass attempts in just the first half, going 2 for 9 on third down and ended up with just a handful of points, missed opportunities, and a turnover, the Patriots decided to completely change their game plan and run that thing over and over and over again.
Michelle, the tail, the tandem from the offside eye, takes the handoff, runs it through the right side. Sony cuts right to the five. Michelle wards off a defender. A stiff arm en route to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Boy, look at the quarterback getting excited with Newhouse. They made some adjustments up front. 14-yard little dance step to the right side. It goes off right tackle. And the kid finally got some success running the daylight here this year.
Yep. The minute they stopped having to depend strictly on Brady throwing the ball, that's when everything changed. In the second half, the Patriots ran it 20 times for 111 yards and dropped back to pass 12, where Brady ended up going 9 of 11 for 142 yards and two touchdowns. And in the process, Tom Brady passed Brett Favre on the all-time passing yards list for third. And as for the defense, they continued to be excellent.
Thompson to the right of McCoy from the gun. He takes the shotgun snap, throws it underneath, picked off by Jason McCourty. He's running back right across the 15. And a giveaway by McCoy. First down, New England.
Yep, Patriots defense had themselves another day, forcing two turnovers, sacking Colt McCoy six times.
Just a horrendous throw. Yeah. He threw it right to him with less than a minute to go.
What are you doing? Did you hear, by the way, it was kind of funny, but even before the game, Devin McCourty was talking about, you know, up until before yesterday, he had interception in all four of the opening games. And he said, you know, some of them weren't the toughest ones, the toughest place to make. In other words, like, he just happens to be at the right place at the right time. And I think there were several cases where it was thrown directly to him. There was the one, I think, in week one where Gilmore tipped it and then he got it.
It was one that Luke Falk threw a pop-up to him against the Jets.
It just seems that a lot of these interceptions aren't really hard-fought interceptions.
You got to have the instincts to be in the right place. Don't get yourself down, McCourty.
Don't talk yourself down.
You got to be in the right place, baby. It's a mental game.
Well, Dont'a Hightower was a monster who in the first half alone had three tackles for a loss and a sack. He split another sack with Michael Bennett in the second half and almost had a pick six. I mean, he was that close. And the Skins never ran one single play inside the red zone and crossed midfield just twice the entire game, with a second trip to New England territory being in the final drive of the game, which, of course, is garbage time. And as far as the guy that wasn't Stephen Gostkowski,
this attempt will be from 37 yards away. Snap in the spot. Kick sail into the uprights. And the kick is good. So Mike Nugent with his first points as a Patriot. And New England has the lead at the 10:35 mark. Here in the second quarter.
Well, after
why didn't you play the miss?
Well, he missed his first kick as a Patriot.
Nugent struggled at the beginning.
He did. Okay, let's take a look.
Point after try for the veteran Mike Nugent. Cardona will snap to Bailey. It's in play. Swing of the right leg. Kick is lifted to the uprights. And the kick is no good.
Boy.
Nugent with the errant point after try. It sails right.
I mean, after he missed his first kick, I mean, it just made you realize how much kickers across the league are terrible. Did you see, you probably didn't see it, but the Tennessee, and who's Tennessee playing?
Chargers?
Buffalo.
Buffalo. Yeah. So the Bills are 4-1 now, and the reason being is that the kicker from Tennessee missed three field goals yesterday.
Yeah, it's really amazing how poor the kicking game is now.
Yep, it is. But after that,
you only need 32 people in the world to kick. I don't know why you can't find 32 people that are able to do that.
But all things considered, after that missed extra point, the Nuge did pretty good. He ended up getting three more extra points, a 23-yard field goal, and a 37-yarder as well. So, hey, I mean, listen, he did everything else he needed to do.
Points and a couple chip shots, good for him.
37-yarder is not
before you walk, Fred. I mean, Jesus.
Chip shot?
Yes, it is.
37-yarder?
No, the 23-yarder was a chip shot.
That's what I said, the 37-yarder
is not a chip shot. It's an extra point now. It's an extra point.
Right. I mean, that's a
all
chip shot.
All kickers should be able to be just about perfect from 40 yards in.
Yes.
Can we all agree on that?
And are they?
No. It's still an easy kick.
You can say that,
It's an easy kick.
Which everyone in the league seems to be missing now.
Well, it doesn't matter. It's still easy. It's something that you should be able to do. I give him no credit. No, I don't. He didn't do anything. No, he missed an extra. He made three extra points. Well,
this isn't even old bastard football. This is like last year.
Yeah. No, it's not being a curmudgeon going back in my day.
I remember back in the 70s, no one would. No, I remember last year, no one would miss these.
Yeah.
No.
A 37-yard
Well, this year, everyone's missing them.
I know.
37-yard field goal is not a chip shot.
And by the way, last year, everyone was not making those. It was about 2 years ago when things started changing.
Oh, sorry. The
minute they made those, I mean, boy, isn't it funny just how much a couple of feet matter? Because you take a look just when they how much larger were the uprights until when they moved them? It wasn't much, and everyone thought it wasn't going to be that big of a deal, but man, was it a big deal. And everyone's missing the extra. How often before they shrunk the uprights did anyone miss an extra point? Like, you never saw it. You almost never saw people miss the extra point, and now it happens all the time.
Maybe it's more about moving it back in the mental games.
Like maybe they
grew up playing on the sand lots with the normal extra point distance, and now you're forced.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, all the kids gathering around on the sandlot kicking field goals. Oh, Johnny, you're the long snapper today. Woo-wee.
Yeah, well, here's Brady talking about how it felt like a home game there yesterday.
That was ridiculous. That was pretty amazing. That felt like a home game. And right from the time that we got to the hotel yesterday afternoon till we ran in after the game, that was pretty sweet. So we appreciate all the support down here. And good to come down here and get a win in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
It was sweet.
Belichick was asked about the kicker position and how he felt everything went today.
With Nugent missing one extra point and getting the upright or another, is that a position you might reevaluate this week?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think we just, we just need to do things better. We can do them better in all phases of the game, offense, defense, and special teams. So we'll keep working on it.
Yeah, those are all the phases of the game.
Those are all of them.
Right. That's there. All of them right there. Mm-hmm. Three phases.
Yeah.
Got them all covered. They need to improve.
Well, one scary moment yesterday was when Philip Dorsett left the game with what the team was calling a hamstring injury. He was later ruled out, but early indication is that he's okay. There was also the moment where you saw Edelman starting to grab his ribs again. I mean, he's obviously playing
injured.
He's
grabbing his ribs a lot.
Yeah.
Bruised ribs don't heal in a week. Those take forever to heal.
But he saw Belichick's balls.
He did.
I mean, that's something.
Mm-hmm.
I like how everyone goes, like, Belichick. I was thinking about this. You know, everyone's like, well, Belichick's like a fun guy. And then you hear Edelman's story about no one, like, he was afraid to be in the room with him after like 8 years and then saw his saggy ass balls. Well, like, no. Belichick sucks. Edelman, like, doesn't want to be in a room with him. What was that, like, his sixth year on the team?
I think he said it was his fifth, yeah.
His fifth year on the team. Like, yeah, what a fun guy. Oh, no, you don't know him. If you get to know him, no. There's no knowing him.
I'm still afraid to talk to him.
Yeah. But. I mean, where is everyone getting this impression that he's at any times pleasant?
Well, we saw him in tailgating in a parking lot, didn't we?
I'm partying.
He was partying.
Having a little party.
Yeah. Okay. I also saw him act like it was hell on earth to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
I give him credit for that one.
Okay, can you make a sandwich? Can you sit here for 5 minutes?
Sandwich.
I resign my position.
It turns into Batman all of a sudden.
That's how he talks.
Batman. Are you talking, John, when he went out to the tailgate?
Yeah. Partying.
Yeah, partying. A little party here. Partying.
Everyone likes candy.
Candy and costumes.
Do they?
Can't beat that.
Do they, Bill? All right, Rich, what's coming up?
All right, well, we will get to a little bit more of the locker room stuff. Yesterday, on top of that, Taco Mania yesterday. First preseason game.
For some reason, I thought that was a regular season game.
No, it felt like it. If you watched it and you heard the crowd reaction.
Taco came in the game. It was like the playoffs.
Dude, that place went crazy.
Yep. They were chanting for him early in the third quarter. Stevens finally put him in the fourth, and the place went nuts.
I'll have to think of a clever pun with Taco.
Okay. Got about 10 minutes.
I haven't heard one yet. I really haven't. A clever one? All right, here are the headlines. 98.5,
the Sports Hub. Touch it. Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. LineMA.org.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
Sports up.
I can't believe he did that.
Rich.
I didn't want to be there because he was embarrassed.
98.5 Sports Hub.
985 the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. By the way, you got to credit Julian Edelman because he did one of the all-time great flops on that pass interference call that they reviewed in that game.
Like, nudged him. Nudged him.
I just like the complete lack of any kind of realism in the explanation of the analyzing of it. Like, you should at least say, like, look, if they're going to keep that call. But to say, oh, well, that, like, did not acknowledge the flop.
It looked like pass interference. It did. Now, whether or not he flopped or not, sold it, whether he sold it or not, I was trying to think of a better word for it.
He deserves credit.
It looked like pass interference.
Okay. I mean, if that's the way that it's going to be, that you can't touch someone at all.
The guy didn't turn around, didn't look back for the ball until the ball got there.
He didn't see for three strides, he was looking at the ball.
And he bumped Edelman with his left shoulder.
Okay. Well, when you're running with someone and you're looking back at the ball, I mean, and then they fling themselves to the ground.
Interfered with his ability to put his arms up to catch the football.
Well, isn't that the
accidentally
idea?
Or not?
Isn't that the idea?
What? Not before the ball gets there, no.
But if you're looking back at the ball, how the hell do I know where his hands are?
You interfered with him by accident or not. It's pass interference.
You know as well as I do that wasn't pass interference. And Edelman knew he was going to catch the ball, so he threw himself in the ground.
I don't think it was nearly that blatant. No.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you. I looked at that play, and I thought pass interference.
Regardless of what they are, I mean, an NFL team challenged the call. I mean,
yep.
with knowledge of what had happened. I mean, it's not that cut and dry, John. I mean, they let it stand because they had to. But I'm giving him credit. He flopped. He flopped like a soccer player.
I didn't think it was that bad. I didn't think he threw himself to the ground.
Oh, I think so. Completely. I think he sold it, which is great. And that's the NFL nowadays. You run down the field and you go, oh, there's no way I'm catching this thing. So you fling yourself on the ground and hope someone throws a flag.
It was a bad throw, too. It was a terrible throw.
Yeah, well,
he shouldn't have thrown the ball. He threw it.
No.
No. Well, that's Brady got rewarded for a crap throw.
That's Brady, you know, over
I mean, you
yards.
See more and more of that. Brady got just threw another horrendous interception inside the five.
Yeah.
Where he should have taken the sack, and we were talking about chip shot field
and
goals.
And then you saw him lead Gordon by, like, 5 yards.
Yeah, he had Gordon open and overthrew him. Yeah. Absolutely. But, so, I mean, that's the thing that you see out of Brady, where he just doesn't want to take the punishment anymore. And to be honest, you see what a lot of older quarterbacks. I mean, the offensive line was not blocking well in the first half, protecting well at all in the first half, and the Patriots decided to go empty and just throw on every down, and Brady started getting hit. I think Washington had 9 quarterback hits yesterday. Most of that was in the first half.
Some of them in quotations hits.
True. It is Brady. You can't hit him.
But in the fetal position.
True. He curled up and But I mean, that's because he had gotten whacked a couple of times before that.
I don't blame him. I mean, if you know you're going to get hit,
yeah.
And you know,
but
you
I mean,
can't,
this is something. This is something that's happening.
No, I know.
During this part of the season, Brady has gotten hit. The offensive line. We saw Newhouse whiff on a pass block by himself. Guy ducked under him and curled underneath him and got Brady. You're seeing the fruits of that labor. Brady has thrown 2 horrendous interceptions in the red zone in the early portion of the season.
And he has no intention to evade a pass rush at all.
He's trying. There are a couple times where he's trying.
He put his head down one time and got...
Yes. Ready.
But, I mean, if one defensive lineman gets free, he's just fetaling it, which is fine because he's still performing. But, I mean, there's not even an attempt to evade a pass rush. I mean, how many other quarterbacks in the league, if there's one, if you can see him, you can see him from when he sheds his block.
Yeah, it happened a couple of times yesterday.
Yeah, but like that you don't even try to scramble and evade. I'm talking about like one guy. I'm not talking about like you're
right.
The pocket's getting crushed.
Sure.
I'm talking about one guy getting free.
It happened a couple of times yesterday. It did.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, so he's just pretty much acquiesced that I'm not going to outrun a, you know.
No, he's aware there were a couple of times where he tried to evade and threw on the run incomplete earlier. But yes, there were a couple of times later, and I think that was because of the bad interception in the red zone where he's like, all right, I'm not going to throw another ball.
Well, he did it before that.
I'm trying to remember the timing. After he threw that bad interception, there were a couple of times
where he got in the field position and took a sack.
In
the first half, they were when he was getting hit, because all of a sudden it looked like the Washington had the world's best pass rush.
Yes, because the offensive line just went. And I think coming out in the running game in the third quarter is like, okay, let's protect our quarterback here. We can't pass block worth a damn here. Let's try and run the football and work off play action here in the second half.
Yes, but so I think the book on Brady now is he's just not going to even try to evade. That he's not going to try to scramble and buy himself more time. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, more so than usual. But I still remember after that, him trying to run. We all know he can't run away from anyone, but trying anyway to give himself an extra second or two to throw the ball down the field. He may still take a sack, but it wasn't like he was a stationary target and then dropped to his knees either.
Well, says you.
Okay.
I don't know. I didn't pay attention to what you're saying. I was looking at the phone. Andrew, go ahead.
Thanks, friend.
Well, you're welcome. Andrew.
Hey, guys. You watch the Sunday Night Football game?
No.
I'm not comparing the two, but the evasion statistic between Brissett and Brady, Brissett got out of the pocket, scrambled, threw the ball downfield. Brady will never do that again.
No.
No, he's also 16 years younger and was faster than Brady when he was younger.
No one's saying that Brady's not going to be effective. Is that Brady has made the decision that he's not going to be evasive.
And that's why the running game is so important to this team, and it was infuriating at the beginning of the season where nothing was getting going.
Brady's got to realize that that's just the way it is. I mean, if a 280-pound defensive lineman gets loose, one, and you can see him running at you, and your decision is to cower, I mean, you're not attempting to evade one guy.
I mean, the plan was during the first half of yesterday's game, Brady, you're taking care of everything.
And that's the thing. After throwing for 150 yards against Buffalo, it was obvious, like, okay, let's make sure Brady can do this. They spent so much, not money, but they spent a lot of resources getting extra running backs in there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think we all could agree it was going to be a run-first offense at the beginning of the season anyway.
Oh, sure.
And the fact that
Brady likes that.
The fact that they just decided, you know what, we're going to throw on every down was a shock.
I know.
And then they realized, oh, that's right, our left tackle isn't around. Marshall Newhouse is a scrap heap guy.
Dorsett's hurt.
Ted Karras is a backup center.
Yep.
I mean, we still can't pass block, and we found that out yesterday. Yeah. And then, okay, let's go back to what we should have been doing all along, which is running and working off play action. And occasionally in a shotgun, instead of going back to 2007 and trying five wide out.
By the way, is there a more overrated statistic than yards passing? I mean, that's
just look at Dak Prescott last night.
Yeah,
Dak Prescott was horrible for long portions of that game. He threw for 460 yards.
Yeah,
I think 320 of it was after halftime when they were way behind.
Yeah,
I mean that's. I agree. We were talking about Jared Goff. We threw for over 500, and I still thought he was horrible.
Yeah, I mean, I watched the second half later, but like at the game I was at, you know, they're like, "Oh, Brady's been great. You know, he's 300 yards." And then I watched the game. I'm like, "Brady's not great."
That pass to Bolden was great. Like, there were a couple passes.
There were a couple, but he's
not bad.
You think 348 yards and three scores? You thought he had a better game than if you watched the game than he did?
Exactly.
Yes.
All right. The way he can pick apart and he can fit a ball into gaps. I mean, it's still there. But, I mean, it wasn't like he was electric. You think that, 340 yards are going to come home, and he's going to be all over the place. I mean, it's a dink-and-dunk situation. All right, be listening this morning at 6:50 for your chance to score a pair of tickets to see Jim Brewer, who I believe will be in studio at some point, on his Live and Let Laugh tour.
Jim Brewer pissed off some people last time he was on with us, remember?
What?
Because Jim Brewer was the guy.
Mets thing?
No.
No, he ran into the deflator, John Jastrzemski. At a health club in Mexico.
Man, people were so pissed off at him. And I'm like, why?
Because that was the worst moment in sports history with a fan base. That whole Deflategate shenanigans.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he said that he ran into the Jastrzemski guy.
And people got mad because they were intolerable.
That was so funny. I was like, I thought it was an interesting story, whether you believe it or not.
No.
The story was good.
Story's great. The way people behaved around that Deflategate thing
was insane.
Yes, I wanted to move to Mexico. All right, it's I'm sorry. Live and Let Laugh tour. I'm an idiot. This Friday night at the Wilbur Theater. Tickets still available at thewilbur.com.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
The answer is simple.
Follow the Sports Hub on the Twitch app.
They are spectacular.
Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. Caller number 10 right now at the Pride Motor Group. Contest line is 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to see Jim Brewer on his Live and Let Laugh tour this Friday night at the Wilbur Theater. Tickets still available at thewilbur.com.
Oh, the crowd asked for it, and they finally got it.
Tremont Waters, left-hand dribble, drive, switches to the right-hand flow. Oh! No good, offensive rebound. Two-hand slam, thrown down by Taco Fall. It's raining tacos.
Boo. He's been holding on to that one ever since they signed him. You can't use that.
Boo.
You can't do that. Come on. He's been around for a while. It's already been used a ton. As a matter of fact, we've used it, but it was when it first happened. We continue to use it. I'm even refraining from playing the thing right now.
You can't play it.
However, Taco Fall, once he got in the game, he wasn't just scoring.
87-85, Celtics by two. Driving Simmons, and he goes to the wrong place at the wrong time, and Taco Fall swats it, spikes it into the ground.
Taco Mania! Sunday tacos. Tuesday tacos.
Dan was talking in my ear. All right, let me hear.
Cedric Maxwell adding his little interjection on Taco Fall.
87-85, Celtics by two. Driving Simmons, and he goes to the wrong place at the wrong time, and Taco Fall swats it, spikes it into the ground.
Taco Mania! Sunday tacos. Tuesday tacos.
Sunday tacos instead of Taco Tuesday. That's quite the reach. You said it backwards too.
Cedric Maxwell preparing as much as Grandy had prepared that lame line. Cedric Maxwell was there to improvise completely.
Yeah,
out of context.
But you know what? You know, listen. Not only does he love this guy because he's a Celtic, but he loves him because he's Tommy Heinsohn and he loves everybody wearing green. Tommy Heinsohn had this to say yesterday about Mr. Taco Fall.
Well, Taco gets into the game. They're going crazy in the stands. He's captivated the fans already. Follow up, gets him two, and the tacos going wacko. And there's a blocko by Taco.
Yep.
That's a great one.
Tommy Heinsohn went nuts on a couple of players last night.
Taco, Waco, Wacko?
Tacos, yeah. I guess that's what their fans are called, because there were people dressed up as tacos. The tacos are going Waco, and there's a blocko from Taco.
Imagine going with your friends and going, all right, guys, here's the plan. Get ourselves some taco costumes. Head on out to the garden. Try to get laid.
Well, Fred, imagine saying, hey, guys, listen. You know those wrestlers we used to love? Let's go to this Bruins game and dress like those guys.
As a matter of fact, apparently one of the guys dressed as a taco was a Bruins Avenger.
Of course. Yeah. Okay, so I was sent.
He ditched his Rey Mysterio Jr. outfit.
Right.
I was sent a photo of Sarge, and he was at the Capitol Grill in Chestnut Hill, like doing an event or just hanging out.
Yeah.
And they had all the Lombardi trophies there. And what was he holding?
Weight belt?
Heavyweight championship belt.
Does he just bring that everywhere?
He brought it to this event.
Why?
Oh, that's awesome.
I want to know why.
A listener sent it to me on Instagram.
No, but why did he bring the belt to a Lombardi trophy thing? Why? I need to know.
All right. I will tell
he already, you. Probably because he already had it with him.
I will
tell you. He drives around in his car with it?
Yes. Yeah, he was wearing it.
Brings it to the Capitol Grill?
I'll tell you exactly what it was. And then, by the way, Chief Wanamaker Cheer was out with like his kid at Castle Island.
Okay,
and they were both in full regalia.
That's awesome. I like to imagine him never taking that off.
I don't think you have to imagine. I mean, he went to Castle Island in his getup.
There's one unfortunate thing that if you're a big fan of Taco Fall, and Taco Fall did well yesterday. I mean, he's obviously needs to...
Few blocks.
Got in there a few blocks, you know. Oh, there was a jump ball. That was the best.
Yep, that's
there
right.
was a jump ball with Taco Fall, and you're sitting there going, oh, you've got to be kidding me. And it's just as amazing as you would imagine. They threw it up in the air, and it's like, yep, I got this one.
Leave the ground.
Like, there's no question. That jump ball with Taco Fall almost should be, like, unfair. He should be required to do it on his, like, knees or something. So he did that. Also, he saw how, you know, he's not the world's greatest free throw shooter as well. Missed one free throw, made the second. But the biggest problem for Taco Fall right now might be a guy that was off all of our radars who came and absolutely tore it up last night.
99-92, Boston by 7. Waters puts a double team. Shovel pass to the corner. Edwards gives it up. Javonte Green tries a three, and it's good. What a NBA debut for Javonte Green. 6 for 6. He's got 13 points in 7 minutes. And the Celtics are trailed by 17, now lead by 10.
Do you know how many times I went, who?
Yeah.
Last night. I don't know anything about Javonte Green. John had to educate me on this, but I sure as hell knew nothing about him going into it. But he scored the second most points behind Jason Tatum last night and just was everywhere, did everything right yesterday.
Javonte Green, undrafted out of Radford, scored like 15 points a game in college, known more for his defense than his offense. Undrafted, has played overseas in Spain and Italy the last couple of years. Did pretty well for the Summer League team. I think averaged 10, 11 points a game for the Summer League team. And like Taco Fall, is battling for that last roster spot. And he was explosive. He's a 6'4 guard.
Where did he go to college?
Radford.
I mean, that's what Eckersley used to say at the track. That's Rad Ford, man. All right, hey. So, all right. So,
lower the shades.
And you lower the shades, you go, woo. That Stang is going to get some tang. All right. So, Sarge is on their Instagram, and he's doing trivia at a bar where he brings in his belts for the winners, but they must return them immediately.
Wait, the prizes? So, you can take a picture with the belts and you have to give them back?
Now, is it wrestling trivia?
I would imagine not. I mean, I imagine if you're going to a bar and doing trivia, it can't be wrestling.
What if you don't want a picture with the belt? What happens then?
I don't know if that's an option, John.
All right. Well, do you remember on my birthday, like, Sarge goes, hey, for your birthday, I got you this belt.
Mine too.
I'm like, that's weird, but okay. And then, like, he's like, no, you just get a picture with it. I'll take
that's
it
right.
with me.
At the other place, he brought in a belt for my birthday. He's like, here, take a picture.
I'm like, dude, this is weird.
Okay.
And then it says Sarge, and then he puts a bunch of trophy emojis. Championship kind of trophy day. And then blah, 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 at the Chestnut Hill, what do you call it?
Capitol Grill.
Capitol Grill. And there's the 6 Lombardis, and then he's just got a belt over his shoulder.
What is he doing?
I mean, he's like, his life must rule. He just like walks around, like dressing up, having fun.
It was in the car. I wonder if he ever leaves that leg at home, unless he's got like a chick coming over that he wants to impress.
If the girl comes over, she's going to immediately know he likes wrestling. Remember, his whole place is adorned.
That's what I'm saying. You have to impress her. Not only do you like wrestling, but you've got the belts to prove it.
Well, I mean, and then he knows the value of the belts, too. Like, some are upwards of...
$200, I think, is the most expensive one.
No. No. He has one sign that he said is worth, we're going here into four figures. my friend.
Signed by who? Whose autograph is worth $800 that you have to buy a belt for it?
Don Morocco.
Okay, well, now you're talking.
It's the Bruno San
Martino. Yeah, now that maybe
the technical, the most technical of wrestlers.
That's true. Yeah, it's true.
All right, so there will be no commercials here, just the headlines.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
The Sports Hub On Demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Tip off every Celtics game all season long with a great-tasting ice-cold Miller Lite, the original light beer. Miller Lite, official partner of the 17-time world champion Boston Celtics. When it's game time, it's Miller time, Celtics fans.